finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my baby business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey to $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to Season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio. What's going on? It's Steve Larson. Welcome to Sales Funnel Radio. I had somebody ask me a little bit ago, like, do you still do Sales Funnel Radio? And not as much. I do pop back in here every once in a while just to kind of document the journey, which is really what Sales Funnel Radio started as. It was kind of the whole shtick, you know. Follow me as I, you know, learn all these lessons and leave my job, right? And try to go make millions publicly, and I'll document all my failures and success at the same time. And that's kind of the premise that I started Sales Funnel Radio. Not kind of, it is. And, you know, as time went on, I'll tell you one of the major reasons I kind of lost steam with it is that it got weird to constantly be talking about my numbers when, like, friends or family would see it. That's one of the major, I was like, ugh, like, it's sexy for the general population to be like, yeah, go live your dreams. You know, when you're like kind of starting out, go for it. But then when you start telling people you're going to try and make $10 million in a year, like, I don't know. I got some weird reactions to that. And, understandably though, cause it's not normal, you know? Or start telling people like, oh man, I'm going to go make this instead of that. Or I don't know. It was like, there's also something to be said about trying to, I don't know. You're exposing so many cards in your hand. Some people are jerks, you know, some people would use that info. And, so there was a double-edged sword that came with certain times. Just, I was showing too much of my hand, if you will, you know? So that was one of the reasons why I pulled back on it. But one of the other reasons was because I just talked about this on my other show. My major focus is on the Steve J. Larson show, and the whole point of it is for me to continue to interview innovators, anybody who's a creator that could be an entrepreneur or not. And it's also meant to just share more of my thoughts that are not business-esque and don't really fit on Sales Funnel Radio. And if you've been a long-time listener to Sales Funnel Radio, I mean, I don't know how many hundreds of episodes are there. I've been doing this show for 9 years, 8 years. I mean, like, it's been a long time, you know? And if you listen to most of it, half of it isn't actually business stuff. And I'm sharing my thoughts on something. And I think that that's great. And but I started noticing that, I don't know, it's funny, man. There's like all these people who started reaching out, and they're like, I loved hearing your thoughts about X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, cool. You know, I bet more people want to hear that. And then I was like, well, what's the problem with there? How come more won't? Like, oh, the name of the show, Sales Funnel Radio, is so niche, right? It's so specific that it's, I don't know, it's just hard to, unless you know what a sales funnel is, you're not going to go listen to the show. And so I was like, I want to be able to broaden out. So it's funny, by naming my other show Steve J. Larson, it's allowed this umbrella for me to operate under that's much wider. The issue I run into it is that unless you know who I am, why would you listen to it? It's called Steve J. Larson, you know what I mean? So there's, and I haven't really used much of my personal list. I haven't really announced it. I haven't really launched it. I kind of am starting from where I started Sales Funnel Radio, man. Like, I remember I had 40 downloads on my first episode of Sales Funnel Radio. 40. And I don't think I've ever spent money ever to grow this podcast. And it's almost at 2 million. It'll be 2 million-ish organic downloads. You know, but it's funny because, and I knew it would be that way, you know, and I dedicated myself to the process of going through it and creating it all and everything. And it was great. And it's funny though, cause I'm kind of going through something similar with the Steve J. Larson show because I'm not really leveraging my old, I'm sure that I'll go do a push or two. Like I'm sure it's not that I'm probably breaking some strategy rules because I haven't, you know, really announced it or anything, but I'm sure that I will. But it's been funny because, like, the first few episodes, I mean, like, same thing. It was like 40 downloads, you know? And it was funny to just watch that start over again, you know? And I was like, all right, well, here we go. I'm buckling in. This is like, this podcast is what I'm going to... I kept changing the names of things. Like, I put together a show called Pursuit of Profit. There was another one that I was going to do. I won't go through all of them, but I finally landed on it because I just know me and my personality, and I know that I'm going to be able to, like, I'm a very curious guy by nature. And so to keep renaming crap, like, I just didn't want to deal with that. And so, that's like really the reason why I just named it Stevie Larson, because I was like I was going to follow like the Joe Rogan, man, just the name, Ben Shapiro, bam, you know, Jordan Peterson, bam. And I'm in for the long haul. Like, this is the thing that I, you know, with this umbrella, that's really what I've been seeking. And that's one of the major points I want to make on this episode, is that if you are the kind of person, like, if you truly are an entrepreneur, a serial entrepreneur, and you just keep creating offers and you keep creating things, sometimes it's easier to think of your offers in terms of an umbrella rather than something that's final, you know? Like, I'll give you an example. Like, okay, I had 55 products that were live at the same time, like 4 years ago. It was hell. It was hell on support, number one. Number two, when you have that many offers up, people don't know what you do. You know, it wasn't on purpose. I think what really happened is, you know, when I left my job, I was just like, let's go. You know, I burnt the boats. I, you know, not the bridges, but I did burn the boat. Like, I'm all in, you know, I'm going, here we go. And it worked. And my offers were working. And I did 34 failures across 5 years. Right. And so when it did start working, I can't tell you how bad I wanted to be an entrepreneur. And so when it did start working, I was just like, whoa, I figured out the formula of how to make and launch an offer. Let's do everything, you know? And so I was just bam, 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 just go, 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 go. And I started just cranking out all these offers. And it's not to say that it was wrong, but it certainly, number one, is not, there's no longevity with that. Like, I absolutely burnt out, you know, absolutely. Number two, there was all this personal stuff that was going on also in my life, but the thing that you and that's all over now, and it's great and amazing, and I am just like freakishly happy and peaceful, and I've never been this calm in my entire life, and it's wonderful, and it's like I could sip tea, you know, in the middle of a hurricane. I just like, whew, just very, I don't know, it's really, there's a lot of reasons for that, and it's one of the reasons for the Steve J. Larson show, is to show, talk more about that kind of stuff that isn't necessarily business-esque. And I'm going to talk about all the stuff that you're not supposed to talk about or say. Like, I don't care. How funny is it that we fought so hard for freedom of speech, yet at the same time, everyone's like, you can't say that. Bullshit. All right, I'm going to say what I want to. Oh, by the way, I swear a lot in that show, too. Not a lot, but sorry. anyway, it's garbage. I'm not that, like, that's dumb. And so I'm going to share my opinions, and it's going to be unapologetic. And if someone doesn't like it, they don't have to listen. But I'm not going to castrate my ideas just because someone else... words are going to offend me. I'm not into that. I'm going to share what I think. So that's all the stuff that I ran into though with Sales Funnel Radio, is like Sales Funnel Radio. It's interesting. It's helping me explore another vein of content creation by doing this other CJ Larson show. Right, I had all these products up. I had all these things up. I really sifted it down to just one thing on there. And then, suddenly marketing can be effective again, right? If you're marketing more than one offer, that's not marketing, right? It's a shotgun. If you're marketing to more than one avatar, that's not marketing. That's just literally spaghetti against the wall, right? Marketing is developed and designed for a single person in mind, a single outcome in mind, right? That's it. And like, I would say, it's funny, when I think back about all the consulting things that I do, which is primarily what I do now, you know, and I'm going to get back to the example in a second. Sorry, it's hopping around just a little bit here. But when I think back to all these consulting things that I've done, most of what I do with somebody in a day when they pay for a full day with me is I it always surprises them, is I spend half the day on clarity with the dream customer. And most don't think that I'm going to go do that. They think that I'm going to go dive into funnel stuff. And we certainly do that, but it's like one of the smallest pieces of the puzzle. The biggest piece to put in is customer clarity, to say who the dream customer is, which is also to say who the hell customer is. Right? If there's such a thing as a dream customer, there's such a thing as a nightmare customer, and marketing needs to attract one and repel the other. One of the problems with marketers today is they build magnets, but they don't build filters. So like, this attracted you into my funnel? Awesome. That means you're automatically fit. It's like, what? No. Right? It's like in job interviews, obviously before I was an entrepreneur, the places where I actually had the most fun working were the ones where they tried to convince me to not work there after they knew I was qualified. Like, they try to scare me away, you know? Right? They build filters. And there's big companies you can hear that do that. They're like, hey, look, we want you to work here. And after a few months, if we don't feel like you're a fit or you don't love it, leave. And in fact, we will pay you more money to not stick around, right? There's companies that do, big companies that do that, right? It's the same thing with marketing though, where it's like marketers are like, this attracted someone, they therefore must be qualified. It's like, no, that's like the first part of lead gen. They're not even a lead at that point, right? We gotta create filters. So doing that same thing with the Steve J. Larson show has been one of the challenges. And I thought I'd put this on Sales Funnel Radio because, I mean, it fits what I'm talking about here, but Sales Funnel Radio, it's interesting. Doing this other project, Steve J. Larson, has helped me figure out a broader umbrella offer, which I'm going to give you a few examples in a second. I know, it's just put pins in your head on what I'm talking about with this. Follow me for a second, because it's going to come in one big picture on why it made sense for me to do what I'm doing with this. So with Steve J. Larson, It's forcing me to find another content strategy. Like, Sales Funnel Radio was good because I was like, I want to dominate the sales funnel space, right? I want to be among the top names. And, you know, I'd say that I am. And it worked. And so naming of your content and naming of your groups, like if you have a Facebook group or whatever, the names of things is like the other, it's like one of the largest jobs a marketer has. You are not labeling things. That's one of the biggest problems people do when they name a show or they name an offer or they create marketing. They're like, they let the inner entrepreneur name stuff. Hey, entrepreneur, tell us the name of this offer. And they're like, well, this is what it does. It's like, that's not a hook, that's a label. Stop titling your stuff, right? So when you name things like something specific, Sales Funnel Radio, well, who's that gonna attract? If you're in the funnel space, I don't care what software you use, they all suck if you're not a marketer. Right, it's gonna attract sales funnel people. But that also capped me personally when I wanted to start talking about other things. And so but it's funny, I'm feeling the other side of the problem too though now, where it's like, I kinda have to start this a show over from scratch. Granted, it's not really from scratch. I mean, I got a lot of foundation to stand on with this thing, so. But anyway, that's kind of what I'm, that's kind of what I'm doing. So. Let me get back to the main point here and I'll tell you what's going on. The main point is, if you have a hard time thinking about what your offer names should be or what your offers are, or if you're like a serial entrepreneur and you have tons of, sometimes it's easiest to think about what you do in terms of an umbrella and then allow you to operate underneath it as you will and as you explore. For example, I got rid of my Capital's Pig Club membership because of the name. The brand was weird. Right. I love the brand Capital's Pig. That's not the point. But naming the offer the brand, I accidentally named a product an identity instead of an outcome. Capital's Pig Club. You know, by month three or four, I can't blame people. They're like, so what? Am I just paying for a club? I was like, no, you get access to all the courses I've ever created. But people would get more frustrated if their shirt didn't show up in 3 seconds. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, this isn't a shirt club. Oh, oops. So what I did is I restarted my entire $97 per month membership, and I called it Lead Flow School. Because under that umbrella, I can continue to bring in experts. Like, I've got one with John Parks coming up soon, which is awesome. He's going to come do an exclusive training about lead gen with Facebook ads, because Facebook ads freaking suck right now, right? Like, it's not that they suck. It's just everything has changed with them again, right? So the dude is, John has spent $125 million on Facebook ads. I don't know, like, I don't know many people that have spent more than John Parks on Facebook ads. So what I've asked him to do is, hey, could you come do an exclusive training teaching the new landscape? And he said, yeah. So, but then I'm also going to do something with, if you guys know Jake Leslie, right? He's like the chief designer at ClickFunnels. And I'm saying, hey, let's come teach your favorite funnel type for lead gen. Because not all funnels are created equal, and not all funnels make a lead the same speed, and not all, you know what I mean? So, and he's going to come in and do that. So it's allowing, notice I've created an umbrella for me to operate under. And for those of you who are like multi-talented, you know what I mean? There are those of us, it's going to sound like I'm really tooting my own horn, but I just know I'm this way, is that if I put my mind to something, I'm going to get realistically good at it. You know what I mean? I may not be the best in the world, but I'm gonna gain some level of proficiency rather quickly. And it's who I am. I don't know why. I've always been that way. You know, and so if you're that type of personality, which most real visionaries and most real entrepreneurs are, it can be challenging for us to know what offer to create, because we constantly want to improve the things that we just released. And we're like, but I also could see me doing this, and I also could see me doing that. And what if I, right? Like, I was going to go into finance in college. That was after I was going to be a programmer. And that was actually before I was going to go into supply chain. And I got proficient in all of them. I got really good grades. And I was like, all right, let's do this, you know? But it can be challenging as an entrepreneur, because you're like, man, I got all these offer ideas. I got these things. I got these people I want to go help. I know that I can work on that problem. That might be a conceited thing. I don't care if it is. It's just reality. I know that about myself. And most, again, if you're listening to this podcast, you most likely are the same to some degree, right? Or at least you know that you're the personality where you're like, I'll figure it out. Let's go, right? So that's been part of the problem that I've been having for the last like 3 years, is people are like, Steve got quiet. And I'm like, well, I'm trying to figure out my new content umbrella. There's a lot of reasons for that, but that was one of the major. The other major reason was like, well, what is my offer? Because I would love to make a copywriting course. I'm actually doing a 3-day workshop for business owners to send their operators to me. And I'm going to teach them my project management formula that I created while I was Russell's CMO. It freaking rocks. It's amazing. It's good, right? But it's like, what, Steve's going to teach project management? Yeah, project planning, development management, as well as team management. So the entrepreneur is not, all they have to do is cast a vision, and then they do just little checkups of the project along the way that I teach how to go do, right? Rather than being glued to every single project that's coming out start to finish, which is what most people from funnel space or new entrepreneurs do. They just don't learn leverage, and I can't blame them. There's not enough people teaching it. So I'm like, wait, I'm going to teach a project management one. I want to teach a copywriting one. I want to go teach, right? There's I've been in the game long enough that I've created my own formulas and things, but it's also created scenarios sometimes where people are like, what do you do? And I'm like, oh, damn it. Like, I'm sorry. Like, no, I can't blame you. Yeah. It's like, I'm just a very curious guy. So I've had to think about my offers as umbrellas. So here's what I've done. And clarity comes in phases, right? If you're like, I know something's in this area. I got like half a vision and it's not quite hitting yet. Like, stick with it, because rarely do I get just like the whole picture in a single snapshot and download in my brain. Normally what happens is I get like this little piece and I start working on it, and then a new piece of it starts to appear. And then I slowly over time, I gain clarity through momentum, not before it. You know, clarity comes from action, not before it, you know? And one of the major reasons for that is that maps don't show terrain, right? A map is not terrain. Even with a typographical map, right? A typo map, like, right, where it shows the elevation, it still doesn't show where the big boulders are and there's a huge tree that fell over right there, right? There's no education like being on the trail in the moment and trying to solve the problem that's 3 steps in front of you. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the best type of education. That's how to learn as a fast-moving entrepreneur and visionary. And so,
Yeah. So I've created these umbrellas, and I love the Value Ladder concept. Having taught it to literally tens of thousands of people in my career, though, which is nuts. There's some things in it that, you know, are, I'm not gonna say wrong, just they're easy things to mess up on, right? And the same thing is true with the linchpin, right? The linchpin was created to solve some of the problems that the Value Ladder concept has baked inside of it. But then the linchpin does as well. There's usually problems with all models. So I've actually created my own, and I'm trying to come up with a sexy name with it, but basically it's allowing me to create umbrella offers. And so I have an umbrella offer called Lead Flow School now, right? Leadflowschool.com, subtle plug there. It's cheap, and it teaches a new lead gen strategy every month, and then also brings in experts every month. And for $97, plus a bunch of other stuff, which is awesome. But notice it's an umbrella. Lead Flow School, well, there's, when you go to school, there's a lot of different classes. And so it's allowed me to create that umbrella for the classes to fit under, you know, as my own curiosity continues, but also leave behind enough structure that people can get the bite-sized stuff as fast as possible. You know, it's some really interesting data. Looking at like 300 people that were in the Capitalist Pig Club, I remember like just when we, not that we only ever had 300 people, but like 300 people, I remember looking at the data. There's like 4 people ever that went through the courses. And I was like, I am misplacing value here too, right? So that's the other thing I've been trying to solve with this, is like, what's the umbrella, but what's also the thing that is actually freaking usable, right? So we ripped out all these, I ripped out easily more than half of my programs. And instead I'm just focusing on lead flow foundations. And because that fits existing businesses.
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, "Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off?" And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, "What do you mean?" He repeated the question and said, "Well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad." I said, "Wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent?" I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, "We've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all." My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing, the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and managed the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go higher, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode.
As well as, you know, people who probably have an offer and they're trying to figure out how to get some more eyeballs to it. Right. Leads is the name of the game, especially now. That's where the ball shifted, right? If you can get leads, you still own the world, right? And then, anyway, so that's the first one, is Lead Flow School. The next one that I've created is called CMO Certified, and it's a certification program where people are also sending me, I kind of touched on it for a second, they're sending me their, it's multiple 3-day workshops where I'm trying to certify someone's right-hand marketer, kind of like Russell and I had that relationship. It's like, I kept trying to I was like, how come the business owner doesn't want to come learn this stuff? They should come learn this stuff. And I was like, wait a second, but I'm actually adding to their to-do list. What if I made the business owner's team more valuable to the organization? And that, my friend, was the key. And I've been doing it now for probably about 6 months, silently, you know, I mean, not that silent. And people, I've done probably 4 of these workshops now, and it's just me for the most part, except for the one Russell and I did together, for the Dramatic Demonstrations book, which I just got back from the editor, and now it's my turn to go do another deep, big dive with it. Psyched about that. But CMO certified, I'm going to have my own funnel certification course, right? As the funnel guy's previous funnel guy, I love CF certified, and I'm not competing with it, but I also feel that I have the merit to put my own out, because it's a little different, right? Like, well, this is actually how I planned, project managed, you know, and either we did the funnel in-house or out-house or a combination of the two, right? You know, and then here's how I did all the checks throughout it. Then the process is very different than I think. Anyway, I'm a very high processes systems oriented guy. So anyway, yeah. So CMO certified is an umbrella, and people can choose different certifications they want to go take in there, right? Like I'm going to have a lead flow officer as one of the certifications you'll get. Sales funnel officer is a different one. I'm going to have a copywriting officer. And that way these business owners can send their people to me and I can train them. It's been so freaking fun, man. It's like, one of two things has been happening. The first, well, across the board, all of them are like, whatever you did to my employee, they're on fire. I didn't know how to train him. I'm no longer solely owning strategy, you know, and when I do have an idea, they know how to take it and run with it more. So it's not like, it's like you took their training wheels off a little bit, you know, and I'm not bashing any right-hand marketers. That's not the point. It's like, but it's one of the natures of being a visionary is that you're so in the future, you don't know. You're so in the future, you think that you're followable to your own team, right? But it's hard because you don't want to cut out the legs from underneath the visionary. Hey, don't go be a visionary. Don't go pioneer. Don't go discover. Don't be curious. It's like, what? That's the wrong answer. Instead, what if we upgrade the organization that supports and upholds the visionary? That's been the key, man. That's been so fun. I mean, I'm having fun again. It's so much fun. Anyway, so number one, the first umbrella offer that I've created is Lead Flow School, and it freaking rocks. I'm so proud of it. And I'm doing a kickoff event called Lead Flow Live. Subtle plug again, leadflowlive.com. And it's where I'm going to be teaching the basics of Lead Flow Foundations, Lead Flow 101. Most marketers still don't know this stuff. And they can't ever master or get into what I call daily lead flow without still handing Zucker all their cash. Or they have to be the attractive character model, right? It's either it's like, dang, those are the only two ways people think you can do this. Like, and it makes sense why they would think that, but it's not true. So anyway, we're gonna talk about that, which is super awesome. So anyway, leadflowlive.com if you're interested. I'm gonna be teaching for 3 days. It's just me, and I just prefer to have it in front of a live audience. So I made the ticket like $14 because that's just like, look, I'm gonna do this, but if you want to come do this, and we'll make it workshop style so you have time to apply and ask questions, and it's the live thing with me. Like, it's, you can have virtual or in person, I don't care. I'm better on stage in front of a group of people for content and course creation. That's the other reason I do so many events. But anyway, so yeah, subtle plug, subtle pitch over. But Lead Flow School is the first umbrella. The second umbrella offer is CMO certified, which allows me, you know, CMOcertified.com, subtle plug. We're making it stupid cheap also, comparative to what it should be. And I don't think I'm going to charge per certification. I think I'm just going to make it so that you pay for the umbrella. And then you're like, oh, you want to go to that class? You want to go to that class? I don't know. I'm still chewing on it, but that's what I'm thinking about. Or that it's like there's a tuition fee and then it's just like stupid cheap after that, because there's always costs involved with things. So anyway, really pumped about that. I'm about to take the world by storm on this stuff. And then the third umbrella offer that I've created is a consulting practice that I've been running for almost a year now, called Titans of Industry. it's so freaking fun. It is like, so I'm trying to censor myself a little. It is so fun. It's all these people that have made seven figures in their career at some point. A lot of them, their current offer, they haven't made seven figures on yet, but they're working towards it and they just want help. But it's specifically, so there's, the reason most people have seen me pitch this is because it's mostly been by invite only. Like, I'm only ever going to have probably 50 companies in this thing. And, we're coming up on 20 already. And, it's been mostly by invite, and there's more people who want to be in it than I actually have allowed. Because it's not a mastermind. It's not like a, I hate masterminds that really are coaching programs just like spun up as a mastermind. Like, if you look at the real word, what mastermind means, Napoleon Hill, right? He was like, a mastermind is when two people get to share ideas and then that third mind appears with like new insights. That's where the word comes from. Well, if you're in a mastermind and you never get to spitball your ideas, it's not a mastermind, right? And there's so many people who are doing it weird, right? It's like half of them are just events and you're sitting in a room, it's like, welcome to our mastermind, but they don't ever get a chance to talk, share their ideas, work through their problems, be vulnerable. That's not a mastermind, right? So I feel like a lot of the marketing world has bastardized, and I mean that in the true definition, not as a swear, the word mastermind and the model mastermind. So I don't want to come out and say, hey, it's a mastermind. What it really is 80% a consulting practice, which is why it's true consulting. It's with me, you know, and there's weekly stuff. We do stuff every quarter. I help out with all their quarterly planning. It's so fun. I act like everyone's fractional CMO, and there's elements that are one-on-one and there's elements that are as a group. That's the other reason why I'm keeping it small. And it's like a subscription. It's cool. So it's not like a pay for the year. I've completely scrapped that model. I'm so sick of that model, because on month 9, someone could be like, why am I still paying for this? Why did I, 3 more months? They're like, ugh. And I get why some people have done it, because they're like, well, at least they've paid and now you're getting 3 months, and maybe they forget. It's like, screw that. I'm tired of that. I want to make it so it's small, intimate. It's a lot of me in it. And I start out spending one-on-one time, about half a day with each person. And what I do is I develop their quarterly plan. I'm not pitching you guys. I'm just excited. And I'm just trying to tell you like how I've been making these umbrellas, because it's so funny, man. Every single person that I've brought into, and it's with me, it's not with a coach, you know, every person that I've brought into Titans of Industry, I always say this the same thing on our half day. And the reason I do half days is because I used to do full day and it's too much. Like their brain, like it's just, it's too much. It's not actionable after a certain hour, right? And so, and it's not to say it's a one and done thing over either. It's like someone just reached out, they're Inside Titans, and they're like, hey, we developed the, you know, I figured out, I cleaned all their offers. Woo, they were messy. And then I also cleaned their marketing, which shockingly, it's blown me away how far they've gotten with how little they've had. Anyway, yeah. But then they're like, hey, we also have this other business. Can we just get some more time with you? And same kind of thing. I'm not charging extra for that kind of stuff. It's just, it's part of the consulting package and the monthly subscription thing. It's like, anyway, so I've really, really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it. If you're interested, titansofindustry.com. Qualifiers are that you have to be past 7 figures sometime in your aggregate past, just because you're used to either being committed to the game or solving certain types of problems. You know, this isn't like a figure out what I do in my life thing. This is like a, I have a skill set. How do I build a business around it? I've made 7 figures in my career. Or we got someone in concrete. We got someone in satellites. Someone's in relationships. We got someone in osteoporosis. There's someone in funnels. We got one person who does music lessons. We have some, it's all across the board, which leads me to the second qualifier, which is that you have to be an innovator, right? It's not for the entrepreneur who like buys a widget for $5 and then flips it for $6. That's not, you got to tell me where there's the innovation in that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's for innovators, people who are creating and creators, because it's my, I'll get off my high horse with this afterwards, but it's my true honest belief that if I can convince creators to keep creating, we win. That's it. Period. Bar none. End of story. If we as a society stop making stuff, not just as the economy slow down, we actually lose our vision. We lose our sense of purpose. We can get lulled into a sense of security very easily. Like, I'm not... I'm pro-capitalism far more than I'm anti-socialism. Socialism is not really the opposite of capitalism. I'm not saying that we shouldn't help people or try to solve, you know, that's not the point. That's not what I say when I'm, like, bashing socialism. But I do think it's freaking evil, and it's proven to be the doorstep. It's the gateway drug politics of communism. Like, I do think socialism is evil. So think about that then. If I can just keep anyone in this country who's, I don't care if they're in business or not, right? In Titans, you need to be. But as a broad umbrella, can I keep innovators innovating? Can I arm them with the tools to do so? And many times, the innovators that I work with, they really have created a true innovation. But because they don't know how to get people to see it, marketing, or they don't get people, they don't know how to sell it, sales, they don't know how to deliver it, right? Because that's not the same thing as just giving it to them. That's delivery. And they don't know how to resell or upsell, right? Those are the four core functions of all business, right? What tends to happen is the innovator can get discouraged, stop innovating, and then suddenly, right, now I lost one, right? I lost a creator and an innovator. And I say that more than entrepreneur because it's very specific. Like, right? I want to help innovators innovate. I want to help innovators who are on the verge of burnout heal, right? And that's more akin to what the Steve D. Larson show really is that's the passion and the fuel there, you know? I just did an episode, I put it out yesterday, well, as I'm recording this, which talks about the difference between your vocation and your career. And for innovators, many times they mix up the two and they think they're the same thing, right? Go look up the difference. Like, literally just type in vocation versus career. And I find that that's all, like, speaking from personal experience, that's one of the reasons why I started losing so much steam, is the only creative outlet I had was business. I was only making things for the sake of some kind of money or business thing. And my inner soul was pissed about it. And my inner teenager just started popping up and rebelling, you know? Anyway, so these are the kinds of problems of the titans of industry. It's not, I don't want to say just, because it's been very powerful already, but how can I help innovators create leverage, right? In fact, that's the theme of Titans, is Titans of Industry, and the subtext says innovation, leverage, profit. That's it. The tools for those three things, and building a calm life where the innovator has space to innovate. If you notice, what happens very often also is that as soon as a business starts to take off, the innovator's like, yeah, they're psyched, but they become their own worst enemy, because it's usually not, like, the next things to go do are typically not skill sets that they love or are meant for or fuel their soul, right? And so they start, it's not on purpose, and most of the time they don't know they're doing it, but there's subtle self-sabotage going on. They become the worst salesperson for their thing. There's a lot of reasons for this. So anyway, well, I got a lot coming up. I'm super excited about it. I will continue to document the journey on Sales Funnel Radio as it fits. But the 80% of my content creation is on Steve A. Larson, as well as the new YouTube channel, which is where, you know, anyway, there's going to be different things on the YouTube channel than the podcast. The podcast will always have the audio from YouTube, but I've just learned from years of doing this that podcasting doesn't always do great the other way, you know, back on YouTube. I'm still going to do it face-to-face, side-by-side interviews, but I don't know. There's just things that I can get out on podcasts like this that, you know, I'm not able to on YouTube. Just doesn't fit the platform. So anyway, awesome. You guys are amazing. Would love to have you at LeadFlow Live. It's coming up here. You can go to leadflowlive.com, see the dates there. I'm in my sauna right now, and so I don't remember, it's getting so hot. It's 162 degrees, and I've been in here for about 40 minutes, and I have got to get out. So my phone is on fire. Anyway, leadflowlive.com if you want to learn about a certification program for yourself, and we're going to help you learn how to get clients also if you go through the certification program. Marketers and CMOs are not the same thing at all. Very different. So if you're ready to put a badge behind your name and go elevate your level 10 skills into a level 10 vehicle, you know, learn CMO. You actually are attracted. You're more attracted to existing businesses, at that, with the title of CMO, and you bring funnel skills, right? But Anyway, pitch over. CMO certified, though, if you want to learn more about that. There's just like a 10-15 minute video in there that just kind of shows it if you're interested about it. I'm only taking small groups of people with it too, because that one is primarily going to be with me also for a while. It's also not the kind of thing, like, just because you pay doesn't mean I'm certifying you. You know what I mean? Like, if you want to get good, I'll help you, but you got to be willing to take feedback. And if you suck, I'm not going to certify you until you're good, right? It's one of the reasons why I hate it when you buy a certification and you could, like, have it in 15 minutes. It's like, that, no, that's not what this is. I care about the talent. So, the talent, the skill. And then if you do think you're like, hey, I want to be around a bunch of innovators and creators who are kind of past a certain level, because the problems that we're working on and solving are different, titansofindustry.com, same kind of thing. There's a like 10-minute little video in there. You can see what it is. Hop on a call with us. Love to have you. If we're both a fit, and I mean that in the true sense. So anyway, you guys are amazing. Thank you so much. Thanks for sticking with me all this long. It's nuts to see how many downloads still come from Sales Funnel Radio. You know, I know I've been a little quiet there for a while, but that seal has been breaking. And a lot of it has had to do with just me refreshing my vision. And, you know, last story, and I'll end here. I was working with this coach, you know, and she was like, you know, I was kind of like meditating, and she was guiding me through some stuff. And she was like, it's like, what do you want to go do? And I was like, I want to help innovators innovate. That's really what my soul wants. That's the vocation, right? The way I do it is my career, but the broader umbrella, purpose and vision. And she goes, well, how come the vision kind of seemed to slow down? And I was like, well, vision, I said this thing. I was like, that was freaking profound, man. I said, if I can just pat my own back there, which sounds so egotistical, but I was like, you know, visionaries need time to pioneer. So if there's not absolute clarity on vision, all offers sound good or bad. It's like the worst way to build a business, right? Being a visionary is as important as a role as funnel building, right? If not more important. But if the visionary is so in the business that they can't have time to explore and pioneer, there's not fresh data influencing, crystallizing, and refining the vision. And so when vision runs out, the organization doesn't know what's happening, right? And usually that's when people start to get worried about their jobs rather than creating something cool. And so I needed to go refresh my vision. And the way that I do that, I'm learning the balance approach to it, so it doesn't have to be these periods of like silence for me. That's really the shift you've all seen me going through too as well, where it's like first it was just a dead sprint. Now I've flipped everything towards like a longevity play. You know, it's a marathon now versus a sprint. I'm pacing myself. Anyway, listen to the episode I did on Steve J. Larson, because I talked all about this and how I've been able to go do that. Anyway, so that's really what has been happening, though, is I have been refreshing, crystallizing vision, which primarily comes from discovery without any expectation for action. That's how I figured out what I wanted to do in college. I had no idea. I was like, it all sounds interesting. And choosing one was the hard part. And so what I started telling friends and family in college was, I don't know what I want to do, because that's what everyone asks. What are you going to go major in? I was like, I don't freaking know. So what I started telling people, and I stayed in this zone purposely, and I announced it to people for like 3 years, that I was going to purposely enter an age of discovery without any commitment. I just don't know what's out there, therefore I can't make a decision. How can you decide when you haven't even started walking the path? It's not a true decision, right? It's a less informed decision to just be like, I'm going to go become president of the U.S., which I'm going to talk about that in the Steve J. Larson show as well. Oh my gosh. Anyway, and then you're like, oh, I've never actually like studied political science. I've never given a speech. Ooh, that's a very much less intense decision to, you know, that stand where you stand is not as informed. And so the decision is not as strong. But the same is true to the opposite, where it's like, I'm going to give myself license for an age of discovery because I don't know what I want. That's not true anymore, but that was true like 4 years ago. And that's kind of what happened also. And now I know, and I'm like freakish vision clarity. Like I can see it in my head. I can walk in it in my head. It's very real. It's very tangible. I'm walking in my model in my head, right? And I do that. I spend time doing that. And to just keep pulling it into reality, you know? So that's the other thing I would say, and I'm going to end the show off with today, is that, you know, go figure out, if you're like, I don't really know what my offer is, think umbrellas. And then if you're like, I really don't know what the umbrellas are, think discovery without comparison. This person made this much money in this amount of time. How come I can't? That will slay your, that will slay you. That's nothing, right? What is that? Comparison is the thief of joy, right? That quote. It's very true. I've definitely fell into that trap for a bit. All right, guys, you're awesome. Love to have you at Leadful Live, leadfullive.com. And regardless, though, we're making a stupid cheap trial also for Leadful School, leadfulschool.com. And I can't wait. I have such awesome people coming in that I just cannot announce yet because we're waiting for final things to be signed, although we are all in. There's big stuff coming. So, in fact, I will say, here's one, is that I'm going to be doing a Robbie Summers. You know, he closed $100 million on the phone by himself over his career. And so he and I are going to do a workshop and book together. And we're going to do it on pipeline design. Before there was the funnel, there was the pipeline, right? And funnels are really for the right, it's the tool for marketers. But CMOs learn pipelines, and they still use funnels, but it's different. And so we're going to teach about pipeline design, and it's so shocking to me how many people don't know what a pipeline is. I'm like, no wonder your sales are struggling. You've built a lopsided organization where there's too much marketing and not enough selling, and they're not the same thing, and funnels don't natively do both. So anyway, you guys are awesome. Bye.